Morning, church. Good morning, Prescott Valley, Park Collective. Just so glad you're with us. Glad that we get to do this together. I would like to say Merry Christmas, everyone. We're almost there. It's coming. It feels like Christmas. I don't know how you feel about this time of year. You may be the Grinch like Pastor Todd, and that's okay. That's okay. Or you may be someone who just loves it. And here's what's fun about this time of year, right? Is waking up and it's kind of cold and you get a hot drink and you can actually see the steam coming off your hot drink. And you get to sit and maybe grab a blanket and get to read. Maybe you start your day with reading, whatever that looks like. But there's just something that you go, this feels good. The glow of the Christmas tree, and it just feels warm. And like this, we were created for this, right? Like there's those kind of moments that this just feels good. Anybody else? That feel? Okay. And then if that's not your thing, you're like, I don't do that. Then some of you, it doesn't get better. Football is at its best this time of year, right? Like cold games where they're talking about last night that the heaters went out on one side of the field. And somebody's like, are we going to talk about football every week? Why? Yes, we are. Until this, till the Steelers are done. Yes, we are. And, or maybe Hallmark. If football's not your thing, then maybe Hallmark. And you just go, it's a good time of the year. And we were watching one the other night and I completely checked out. And I looked at my wife and I go, I think your cheese meter is broken. And I'm like, how do you not see how cheesy this is? And yet it just gives her the warm fuzzies that I guess cold football gives me. I don't know. But I say all that to say this, you guys, we're just normal people, right? Like if you're here and you go, like sometimes we can make church this space where you got to be something to walk through the door, you gotta clean up or act a certain way or be at a certain level. I just need you to know we're as normal as it gets. I'm gonna go home and put sweats on after this and watch football. That's what my plan is. And I say all that to say, sometimes we can take ourselves way too seriously. Sometimes we make this way too hard. And I don't think it was meant to be hard. I think it was meant to live in your own skin and enjoy who God made you and enjoy the things that God made you while enjoying God. I think that's what this life is about. And I would love to do this. So I'm gonna take today, and yes, it's a Sunday. Yes, it falls in the year and it's in the calendar. However, a couple of days from now, the hope is that this room is packed full, not because we like to pack a room, but because you invited the people that God told you to invite. And so what I would love to do is talk to you today like a coach, okay? I would love to get you ready for what is coming. And what I mean by that is there are certain things we have planned, certain plays we have running, and they are very, very intentional. And I don't want you as a family member to miss the intentionality that is there for you and for your guests. Now, if you have been tracking through Advent, you have made a list. And that list includes all the people that God has put on your heart. You have checked it twice, meaning you have talked to the Holy Spirit and you have gone through. Some of you are gonna pick out who's naughty and nice, right? Like, but you've made your list and you've asked the Holy Spirit, am I missing anybody? And then on top of that, you have week two prayed, you are encouraged to pray over those people, over the names that are there. Please don't miss, because you made a list, the list is people that Jesus died for, right? Like don't miss that this is just a church activity. It's not a church activity. This is kingdom and eternity. Like this matters. What you are doing matters. The people that God has put in your life, they matter. And so you've made your list. You've kind of gone through that list. You prayed for them. And then last week, you were encouraged to invite them, but you're not inviting them to an event. You're inviting them to come with you to hear some good news, right? And so here's what's going to happen. When they walk up on Christmas, the first thing they're going to walk into, hopefully, is a tree lot, right? Why? Why a tree lot? Well, Jesus died on a tree if you want to get spiritual. Or we could just go, it feels like Christmas. Why does it need to feel like Christmas? Because people that are coming that you have invited, just maybe they are walking up to a church and there is fear and trembling in them walking up to a church. And you know what a tree lot does? This is normal. I can relate to this. And all of a sudden, walls begin to what? Drop just a little. They begin to relax a little. Maybe you get a cup of coffee and they go, the coffee's free. You guys just hand out coffee and hot chocolate and cookies. Why? Yes, we do. Right? Why? Because you're a guest in our home. And so we're going to treat you like a guest and we're going to honor you. And so as they come in, I'm not going to tell you what's happening in here because I want it to be a surprise for you too. But I can tell you this about in here. What they will hear is good news. And the good news hopefully is what they carry out of here. We will do everything we can to treat them kindly and well. We will do everything we can to treat them like they deserve to be treated. Now, when you leave here, everything that has been created is intentional. And here's what I mean. When you go out through these doors and you go, there will be a bistro over here, right? And when you go to the bistro, guess what? You're going to get soup. And when you get soup, you sit at a table. And when you sit at a table, guess what happens? Conversation. Everything has been created for you to slow down with who God has put in your life so that you can relationally talk to them and encourage them with the good news. Ask them questions. And then you might get up and come in back in here and because there's a photo op right outside these doors. And you may go, well, I like the photo op because it's for my family. Can I encourage you? This is not about your family this year, right? You got a phone, you can get a picture anywhere. Get your picture. The idea is this, that you would take who came with you and you would stand in line. What happens when you stand in line? You just talk. And hopefully you talk about the good news as you move along that line. Then you get in the picture, invite them into your family picture, create a memory, right? So that you can look back, you can send it to them in January and go, hey, it was so fun to have you. It was so fun to get to join you and be with you. And so now you're creating something that's larger than just one moment. The hope is that if you go outside and you're in this phase of life, right? You got kids and your kids love throwing snowballs. We got a snowball arena. Why a snowball arena? Because while the kids are throwing snowballs, guess what the parents are doing? A lot of them are just standing with who? With who they invited and came along. And so now conversation is happening. Can I help the gentleman in the room out? Gentlemen, we do really good in conversation shoulder to shoulder. We don't do real good when we have to sit face to face, right? It's just a fact. That's why football games, right? Why do dudes like football games? We can sit here and look at that, and maybe we'll talk, right? The idea of snowballs is, Dad, you get to talk. Moms will naturally do it, right? Your kid might be like my kid. My kid loves animals, so we got the petting zoo, right? You know what I'll get this year? I will inevitably get some picture of my kid holding some animal, normally a chicken, because she loves the chickens, right? But you know what happens while she's playing with the chickens? We stand and talk. We have meaningful conversation with those we're with. And maybe the cookie decorating that's happening. You know what happens with at the cookie decorating is dads sit down with their kids and guess what they get to talk about? What'd you think about the good news? What'd you think about that? And then it's happening with another dad across the table that came because they were invited by the other dad and now you've got this conversation. You guys, you realize everything is intended and has been built intentionally for you to have meaningful conversation with those that God has put in your life. This is just a conversation starter. What happens in this room, it's just to start a conversation around the good news of the person of Jesus Christ in a way that hopefully hits their soul that you then can follow up and walk alongside them with. It's beautiful. You have such a gift. I will give you a warning. If you show up and you do not have a guest and you are not a guest. Okay. So if you're here and you're like, John, I'm just checking this out. You are welcome. Come take a place. You're a guest. We love you. If you are part of the family and you go, I am part of the Heights family, and you do not bring a guest, then be ready for Pastor Ben or myself to come out here and go, hey, we need you to get up and give your seat. We need you to go over to Overflow in H2, please. Why? Because our guests deserve the best seats. And we're not going to be people that when we invite you to our home, we don't give you a seat. And so it may mean that some of you, and I'm telling you now, so you don't send me an email after because you're offended that you got asked to get up, right? This is about who, our community and who God is doing and them hearing the good news of Jesus, because it matters more than you having a comfy seat. It matters, church. And so everything that's been created is wrapped around this idea of good news and those that are in your life hearing it. And today, I would love to share with you some of the hopes when it comes to good news, some of the hopes that we are kind of leaning on and asking God to provide for people this Christmas. And so in Luke chapter 1 and verse 5, so Luke begins the Christmas narrative, and it's not with Jesus. It's not where you would maybe expect the Christmas narrative to begin. He begins this way. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife, Elizabeth, was also a descendant of Aaron. So you have Zechariah and you have Elizabeth, and what we're told about them is that they have prestige in their lineage. They are anchored into, both sides are anchored into the priestly line, which means that any offspring of theirs would be within the priestly line. But we're being told right up front, kind of their pedigree, if you like, within the religious system. And then verse 6 says this, both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Okay. There are some things within what we just read that go together, and there's some things that need an and to join them. So righteous, that they had right standing before God, that they had right action before God that led to right standing. It says that they were righteous, and you could put a plus sign, also blameless, meaning they were so righteous and their actions were so right that you couldn't blame them or call against them to their account. So they are above reproach, would be another way to say it within scripture. They are above the ability for somebody to come and say, well, wait a minute. And then you have an and. So they are righteous plus blameless and unable to have children, barren. And that may not seem like a big deal to us, but in this culture at this time, if you did the right things, the thought was that if you are good, God blesses those who are good. And to not have children was extremely shameful in this context, like God was punishing you in this context. So what you have is you have righteous and blameless don't equal being barren. You instantly have provided within the story attention. You have people doing the right thing, but God not showing up the way he would be expected. Isn't it interesting? We wouldn't ever hold to that because we know things like grace, but how many times we are doing the right thing and we're frustrated because we feel like God is not doing, right? There's a tension that's created. And it says, once when Zechariah's division was on duty, he was serving as a priest before God. Okay, I just want to pause for a second. It says they were very old. Okay, now when the Bible emphasizes very, I don't know what age category that puts them in, but it's very. They are aged. And what I want to draw attention to is this. That if we humanize the story, right, that they prayed for a child when they were young, and when they were a little bit older, they're still praying for a child. And when they're a little bit older, they're still praying for a child. At what point is it realistic to say that they were waiting now beyond what was hopeful? At what point is it okay to say that the tension that's now entered in is that they're waiting to the point where they've lost hope? Why? Because it physically doesn't make any sense. Logically, it doesn't make sense. And they've now waited past the point of hope. And the reason I pause here is because the next thing we read is once when Zechariah's division was on duty, he was serving as a priest before God. Wait, okay, so quick catch up on the religious system. It was an amazing machine that ran. There was believed at this point in time there was 20,000 priests, and the 20,000 priests were on a rotation. And so there was 24 divisions. So that meant that twice a year, 1 week at a time, as a priest, you would go and serve in the temple and think like a firehouse, right? Like that was your shift. That week was your shift. You would sleep there, right? You would be there the whole week, and then you would go home after. Well, when his division is on duty, and it says that Zechariah was serving in the temple. Why is that such a big deal? Because we just learned that he's waiting beyond what? Hope. There's disappointment. There's discouragement. There's pain. There's God, this didn't work out like I thought it would. There's God, you haven't answered prayer. And yet he's still showing up and what? Serving. He's serving in the midst of the pain. His own pain wasn't a reason not to serve and honor God. Isn't it interesting that we're so weak culturally? We cancel people for the quickest thing. We break relationships for the slightest thing. And yet what we see in Scripture is, I'm still going to show up and serve even though I think God has wronged me, even though God has disappointed me, even though God hasn't maybe come through how I thought he would, I'm still going to show up and I'm going to serve. He was chosen, verse 9, he was chosen. So Zechariah is chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Okay, so he's now in the inner part of the temple. So there was the Holy of Holies where God existed. There was a big curtain that divided it. Then there was another room kind of built around those. He's in that, and the altar of incense is close to where the very presence of God is. He's been drawn by lot. This is once in a lifetime, Zechariah, maybe twice, that you get to go and have the privilege of burning incense that close to the presence of God. There's a whole back narrative. You can read the Old Testament of God taking up his dwelling within the temple and why they believe that he was there in person. And so now he is that close, the closest you can get to the presence of God. He is there burning incense. Why is this so significant? Because he is carrying into that space all of his unanswered prayer. And what is burning incense? If you've been around the church, we sing that song, night and day, day and night, night and day, let incense arise, right? The prayers of his people arise. Incense is deeply connected to prayers. What is he doing with the burning of incense? It is offering up the prayers of the people before the very presence of God, that the aroma would fill the very presence of God. So with his own unanswered prayers, he is carrying the prayers of all the people outside. You feel the tension in the story? Maybe you can relate. I've got unanswered prayers, but I'll pray for you. I've got unanswered prayers, but I'll choose to ask God to answer yours. It's a beautiful testimony, but at the same time, it really captures this word hope. It really brings into what hope actually means. In the Old Testament, there's a Hebrew word that is used for hope in multiple ways. We were in our teaching prep this week, and those of you that know Nathan's amazing. He works with elements, just phenomenal. He goes, hey, that reminds me. I heard this somewhere. And so he sent me the audio, and I got to listen to it, explaining this word hope. And the word hope, the way it was used, was in the story in Isaiah chapter 5. And it's a vineyard, and God is planting a vineyard. And then there's a moment when God goes within the vineyard. He goes, I planted the vineyard. Everything is in place for fruit to grow, right? And he's talking about the nation of Israel. I planted this. It's a picture of the nation of Israel. I planted you, Israel, and I'm just waiting for the fruit, right? And that word that is used when it says that God planted and then he kavod is the word that's used. Now, the word kavod, in that sense, is he is looking for, waiting for, anticipating. He is expecting fruit. And it says what he got from the nation of Israel was stinky grapes. He compared them to stinky grapes. Like the fruit just was not good. But it says that he kavod. He did everything and then he waited and he looked and he had anticipation. Now, the word kavod is also used in Psalm 25, that no one who kavods on the Lord will be put to shame. The word kavod in that sense, right? Like no one who hopes, no one who waits on the Lord will be put to shame. So there's this word kavod in the Hebrew language, and it's one of the words that's used and translated as hope. Now, what's interesting about the word kavod is it comes from the root word kav. Now, you may be like, this is way too technical. Stay with me. It's worth it. I promise. We'll get back to football in just a second. Okay? Kav, which is the root word, is a cord that measures. Okay, so you think about a cord that measures, right? Like you ever seen the Olympics where they roll out the string, roll out the tape to measure how far the disc is thrown, right? Like it's that idea. It's a large cord that's rolled that when unrolled, it's designed to measure. Maybe a simpler sense, but if you are into football, maybe and you're watching football, on the sidelines, they have what? They have the yardage marker, and they're trying to make it 10 yards. Now, the person almost makes the first down. They don't do it anymore because they moved to digital. Something was lost in that, but that's okay, right? What happens is those guys take the yardage markers, and they do what? They go out on the field, put it down, and what happens on the other side? Coach, what happens? They measure, but what do they have to do with the chains? They have to stretch it out. Kav is a cord that measures. To kava, which is what the vineyard owner did, the vineyard owner kavad, he looked, waited, anticipated, he stretched out, and there's tension. You cannot take the cord to measure without what? Stretching it out and putting tension. And the key to the word kavod is that if you are going to have hope, you have to have tension. It's in the tension when you think it's gonna snap. That's what it means to hope, is that I wait on God, and the tension has to be present. The anticipation, the waiting and expectation, that's what it means to hope, which is why the tension here in the story is so significant, because the tension is all wrapped up in hope. I have my own unanswered prayer, and I'm praying for yours to be answered. Then the angel of the Lord appeared, verse 11, then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. What was that? Your prayer has what? Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. Those of you that are coming to the Christmas services, remember this guy, okay? That's the only clue you're getting. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. He will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah, who was a great prophet, to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and to the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Okay, 400 years of silence. And here's the first breakthrough right here. 400 years of silence. And a prayer that was offered by two parents that they thought went unanswered, that they had all this tension around, that they're holding hope, but they're losing hope because they're getting beyond what's logical. And in the midst of all that, God's timing, that it breaks through. And then any parents in the room that if God showed up and they go, hey, your kid will be a joy and a delight. You're like, that's enough. I don't need the rest. I'll stop there. Many will rejoice because of your kid's birth. He will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will prepare a people, make them ready for the Lord. Wow, you would go as a parent, you're like, this is more than I ever could have prayed. This is more than I ever could have imagined. And that's our God. You need to see the picture of who our God is. This is how he works. Is he will always do more than you can ever imagine in the midst of your tension and your hope. In the midst of being pulled so tight that you're like, I think it's going to snap at the weakest point. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years. He's also a wise man. For all of the rest of human history, his words got logged down. How do you like that, guys? I'm like, dear God, please no, don't record my words for this long. The angel said to him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. This is good news. I'm here to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. It's interesting. We don't have time for it here, but there's a whole thing. I kind of went down this rabbit hole this week. It kind of feels like he gets put in time out, right? Like it kind of feels like, wait, so Gabriel shows up and I don't know about you. I would be scared. I'm all in on the scared part. I'm all in on the angel telling me, do not fear, which I'm like, I don't think that would help me, but thank you, you know? But at what point did you miss the glowing white levitating off the ground? Like at what point did you miss that, Zechariah, that you're like, I don't know, right? But it kind of feels like a timeout. But here's my question. Is it actually a gift? Is it actually a gift? And what I mean by that, God makes him silent. What do we do in silence? We have to go before God with all of our concerns and all of our worries and all of our, like when we get silent before God, solitude is a gift that we are given. Silence is a gift. When we get silent before the Lord, something special happens within our soul. And I think it's interesting that maybe this was the greatest gift God could have given him to let his soul catch up to what God is doing in his life. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. There's something beautiful right here. Meanwhile, the people were waiting. Okay, so waiting takes time, so they have time on their hands. They're like, huh, this is weird. My prayer's normally done by now. In the waiting, they're forced to wonder, right? You know one of the lost arts of our culture? Wondering. We don't wonder anymore. What do I mean? I got a 14-year-old. You know what my 14-year-old does if I say something they don't know? Hey, Siri. Hey, chat. But what happens in waiting, waiting creates space for wonder. Waiting creates space for you to take to the Almighty, for you to take to your neighbor and go, hey, I don't know about this. What do you think about this? And it's interesting that we've lost the art of wonder, and yet we were made to wonder. Do you know they've done scientific research on the brain, and that the brain is struggling and becoming dull in certain parts of the brain because we don't wonder anymore? That's crazy. You were made to sit in attention going, I don't know. And instead, where are we at right now? You whip out your phone, ChatGPT. ChatGPT gives you an answer that could be right, maybe. You don't know. And you're like, I got the answer. I know now. I don't have to wonder no more. And I think we've lost something because there's value to the sitting and the wondering. Mary finds out that she's pregnant with Jesus. And what does she do? She treasures them. She ponders on them. She wonders about them. I mean, can you imagine the questions Mary had? Hey, Siri, can a virgin be pregnant? And Siri goes, only by God. I don't know where that came from. Verse 22, when he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. What do you think he did when he got home? What do you think he did? Elizabeth's waiting. Oh, Elizabeth, the journey was so long today. I don't know. It's just, how's work? Oh, that's fine. An angel showed up. No. How do you think he returned home? Elizabeth, you got to hear this. And what did he share? He shared good news that he was given. Now, I want to give you four things because it's important to our Christmas Eve and Eve gatherings. Four things about good news that are true. He returns home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant. She became pregnant. You know what it confirmed for her? That God hears. The good news confirmed, it declared to Elizabeth, God hears me. What the good news does is it confirms that God hears us. Right? When I share with you a story of good news about healing for somebody, right? Because they prayed and gathered and God answered the prayer. All of a sudden you go, hey, good news is telling me that if he can hear your prayers, then maybe he's hearing mine. It reminds us that God hears. I just need you to know today, if you're sitting in attention, I get it. I've got unanswered prayer in my life that I long for God to answer the way I want him to answer, by the way. I long for him to answer. And he hasn't. So when I hear this, I go, oh, he hears me though. He hears me. The next thing, first, she became pregnant and for 5 months she remained in seclusion. Whole message about remaining in seclusion. Anyways, 25. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace. The Lord has done this for me. What is she saying? The Lord sees me. And he's working on my behalf. The Lord sees me. I don't know where you are today. I don't know how far you think you are away from God. I don't know how given up of hope you are. I don't know how far past hope you are. I don't know what struggles you have. I don't know how dark it is for you, but I need you to know this, that God sees you today. The good news declares it. The good news declares that he sees every tear you cry, every moment your mind wanders, he sees you. And in the next part, she says, in these days, he has shown his favor. That word favor is grace, right? It's a reminder that God, good news reminds us that God is for us. You know, God's for you today. Oh, I don't just mean like, oh, I kind of like that person. He is for you and for your good. And he is working on your behalf right now, even though you can't see it or feel it. Right? There's a story after story after story in the Bible, right? In the scriptures that we get. There's story after story after story in our church family of what? Of people who go, man, I did not deserve this, but by grace, I got it. Why? Because God's for you. And his grace will not run out. There is a cross that is stained red and an empty tomb for all of eternity that proves that God is for you today. And I don't care how bad you think you are. I know how good God is. And his good is always better than your bad. So he wins. His grace doesn't run out. And he has taken away my disgrace among the people. End of the story is found in verse 39. Mary finds out she's pregnant. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried. If you're not sure who Mary is, let me catch you up. Mother of Jesus. There we go. At that time, Mary, no, I'm being serious. Like sometimes we throw out names and we don't know who they are. At that time, Mary, who was pregnant with Jesus, got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed, blessed are you among women and blessed is the child you will bear, but why am I so favored? Why am I so covered in grace that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." Verse 41 captured this part. Elizabeth was filled. When the greeting happened, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. What good news tells us, what good news reminds us, is that God is near. God's near. How near? That she is filled with the Holy Spirit, which means that she is filled with God. Right? That's how close, that the very breath, it's a reminder. That how close does God want to get? How close the nearness of God in Christmas? We see it because he becomes a baby. It gets even better because as you follow scriptures, it ends up with God living in you. And that's the hope of glory. Right? That God would live in you and be so close as your breath today. Good news reminds us that he is near. Now, okay? God hears. That's what good news does. It declares to us that God hears us. Good news declares that he sees you today. That you're not just in a crowd. You're not just lost. Good news declares that he is for us today. And good news reminds us he is near today. So here's my question for you. Remember, I'm coaching you today. Who in your life, Holy Spirit, put names on our mind right now. Who in your life needs to know that God hears them today? Who in your life needs to know that God sees them today? Who in your life needs to know that God is for them today? And who in your life today needs to know that God is near? If anyone came to mind, you need to pick up an invitation and on your way out, write their name. Will you come to hear some good news? Why? Because we know that the good news will what? Let them know he hears them, he sees them, he's for them. and he's near them. And so you're on mission, church, because Christmas is not about us. It's not about us. We've got a kingdom mission in front of us and people that need good news in our community. And we have the privilege, by a simple invite, of going, will you come hear some good news? And would you be reminded of those things? Would you maybe see them for the first time? And so who is it that God put on your mind? Let me pray for you. God, we thank you today for Jesus. We thank you for the good news of Jesus. We thank you for the Savior, our Savior. God, we are grateful people. God, out of our gratitude, Holy Spirit, would you bring faces and names to mind? Holy Spirit, would you give us courage to step out and invite somebody to come along with us to hear the good news of Jesus? You are the one who changes everything through the power of your death and burial and resurrection. And so we thank you for hearing us. We thank you for seeing us. We thank you for being for us. We thank you that you are near as our breath today. We are grateful people, and everybody said, amen.